Trying to find my fears. seats. Amen. How many want to be a sanctuary for the Lord this morning? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4. Good to see Sister Hannah back in the swing of things. Amen. I don't know about these. We have special meetings here, or go to special meetings, and people come out sick. You know, I think one of these days we're just going to have to get tough with the devil and say we're not going to put up with that anymore, right? We'd have to have these good meetings and come out on the other side without any negatives. How many believe we can believe for that?
Amen.
Right. Amen. I know it doesn't have to be like public schools and things like that, you know, where everything spreads. Amen. We only want the gospel to spread.
Amen. Amen.
So it's good to have her back, each one. I just want us to begin reading here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. I want to make this part 2 of By My Spirit, saith the Lord, just from Wednesday night to carry on. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof. And 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked to me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake to him, saying, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts to you for just allowing us one more day, God, to come, be with your people, be in the house of God, and be able to look into these things that you've committed to us in this day. We're asking, Lord, for your blessings upon this little gathering this morning. We know that you're here. We don't question that. We know, God, that you're here, that you want to bless your people with your presence. And so, God, we just ask that you would help us surrender to you this morning. Each one, we pray, God, that you would subdue any spirit that would try to hinder this morning. Try to keep your people from being able to feed upon the sheep food that you provide. We love you, Lord. We know that this is your little group. This is your sheep. You're the shepherd, Lord. And so we surrender ourselves to you this morning. Act out what you desire. So we pray, God, that you just help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. By my spirit saith the Lord. Amen. How many heard Wednesday night?
Amen.
Got a few hands up. Some of you did not. So I'm gonna backtrack just a little bit, and then we'll go ahead and go on forward. Amen. But as I did say the other night, not part of my notes right now, but to say the other night that whatever we believe, if it doesn't come down and transfer right into our daily walk, then it's probably not any good for us.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's not to say that it's not good, But, you know, everything that's happened throughout the past ages, if it doesn't lead right up to what God's doing into our day, if we don't understand what he's doing in our day, then what good would it be? I've said to people many times, just witnessing to people, who wants to serve a God that can't heal, can't save, a God that you just absolutely just don't even, you know, have no indication whatsoever that he even exists, but you just, have to wait till you get there to find out whether he's real or not. That's not what he has done. He's promised to be among us with the different things and signs and wonders and things that he promised he would do. And so here reading in this scripture, Zechariah, where he says, not by might nor by power, but my spirit saith the Lord. And said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And so Brother Branham was telling us, this came from a sermon called The Message of Grace. And you could listen to that in 1961. Be a good one for each one to listen to. But Brother Rand was telling us there that this scripture there is in the days of the preparation of the rebuilding of the temple. You know that Israel got backslidden and so forth, and finally God just let them be carried away to Babylon. And you know, Babylon, that was started out there in Genesis, and we know today we have a mystery Babylon. And so Brother Branham is showing us the parallel there, that in the Old Testament, when they got carried away into Babylon, well, the New Testament churches got carried away into Babylon. And so at the end of that Old Testament period there, God was going to bring a restoration to the temple. The temple is a place where you meet God. It's a place where he can come out in tabernacle. And guess what? We, here in the New Testament, we are that temple. We are the ones that needed to be rebuilt. We're the ones that need to be made into a place where God could once again come and tabernacle in us the way he chooses to. And so Brother Ram is showing us here in the Old Testament there that this Zerubbabel was a prince there among the people, and he was going to, it was in his heart to rebuild the temple. And so the scriptures tell us that he laid the cornerstone of the foundation, and also he'll bring forth the headstone. Brother Graham emphasized that he would be bringing forth the headstone. We can call it a capstone, headstone, same thing. Now we know that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the thing that started it off. You know, when you build something, you got to start somewhere. When I built my house, I started with a corner, right? Brother Matthew could probably tell you a little bit more about it than I could. Him being knowing about construction and things in the past. But you have a corner that you start with, and everything references off of that, and that's the start of it. Right. But the headstone is the finishing of it.
Right.
And so the scripture said there that Zerubbabel, he started it, and he's also going to finish it. Now we know Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's also the headstone, the capstone. But Jesus is also the prince who laid the foundation, is doing all this work, and he's the one that's bringing it to pass, right? How many can accept that God is doing the work to bring himself on the scene?
Amen.
Right? He's the one doing all of it. He's the one in every one of us.
Right.
Anything that's happened in our lives that's in toward the gospel, it's been him doing it.
Amen?
Because remember, it's always God looking for man.
Yeah.
Not man looking for God. And so we know that to be true. I can say that in my own life. If I say it many times, God, if you don't draw them, they won't come. But if you will draw them, they will come. If you heal them, they will be healed.
Right.
If you'll save them, they will be saved.
Amen.
Because he's the only one that can do it, and when he does it right. We don't have to question that. And so Brother Brown is telling us this here and showing us this scripture there is repeating in our day. Because he goes on to tell us that the seventh church age messenger is the one that's to do this. And so he would bring forth the headstone with shoutings. Now the Lord shall descend from heaven with a... He will bring forth the headstone with shoutings, crying, grace, grace.
Right.
Not just one grace, but double grace.
Right.
So it becomes a message of grace. And so we believe that. And so he tells us that the seventh church age messenger was going to be the one that would bring a restoration. Because remember, Elias is to come and restore all things, right? Elijah. So he tells us that. And so as I mentioned Wednesday night, anytime you hear Brother Rem said, now put on your spiritual thinking cap. And he says that here. Put on your spiritual anointed jacket is what he said. But he's wanting us to stop and think, wait a minute. What he's telling us here is applying for our day. And so we have to understand that here at the end time, God intends to come and take us out of Babylon. Remember, come out of her, my people.
Right.
Take her out of Babylon and rebuild her, get her to the place where Christ can suddenly come to that temple like he did in the Old Testament when he came, when they had to bring people back to Jerusalem and all that so that Messiah could come. So, you know, Elijah was, in the scripture, Elijah was used to bring a restoration to Israel. They were hot between two opinions. They were halfway serving God and halfway serving Baal. What a mess. But you know what? That's what I see out here in the world, the church world. They're lukewarm. They're not on fire. They're just halfway in between. Why? Because this world today thinks they're serving God halfway and they're also serving Baal. And that's exactly, and that was the condition we were in. Had it not been for a message come, that's where we would be. We would be right out there just exactly because you can't go somewhere unless something gets you there. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know this pathway. God has to take us down this pathway. Kind of like the children of Israel when they were going to go into the cross over Jordan. And he said, you've not gone this way before. So you follow the priest who's preaching a message. Right? Because they're going to take you somewhere where you've never been. And so that's the way it's happening now. And so Elijah, he's the one that brought restoration to Israel that God answered by fire. And so we know that that anointing of Elijah was to be upon John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist, we don't think of him necessarily bringing a restoration, but he made preparation for the Lord to come. So to me, it's almost the same thing. He made preparation. He prepared the way like they would smooth out the highway for the king, make it easy for the king to come.
Right.
And remember, we've got a message today who would forerun and make ready, forerun the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So you see these things happening over again. So what we believe has now come down to our day. Mm-hmm. It matters, right? We're looking at what God's doing now
right.
in our midst. And so that was to be on John the Baptist. And then, of course, that anointing upon Brother Branham as the angel spoke there on the Ohio River as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the coming Christ. Your message, the message God has given through him would be a forerunner to the second. So all of this word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, how that this time there would be a restoration and the temple would be rebuilt, and God would once again have a people in this day that he could come to. How's all that going to happen? The scripture said that the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And as Brother Graham said, not by denominations and not by great powerful things, right? Not by men getting together and organizations and things like that, but just simply by the Spirit of God moving upon the heart of his people. The Spirit of God moving upon a messenger. Just simply, that's all it takes is the Spirit of God. Because what comes with the Spirit of God comes quickening power.
Right.
And so that's all it takes is just the Spirit of God moving upon just even one individual. Much less a whole church or an entire body of believers around the world. And it won't come any other way. This is my whole focus of everything I'm wanting to share on this so we can thoroughly understand. It won't come any other way until we get caught up in the spirit
right.
of this word. It only comes that way. You can't catch yourself up in the spirit. Brother Daniel vouched for this as a minister of gospel. We can set knowing we're going to be sharing the word of God and we can have a blank sheet and say, God, you got to give me something. And it can sometimes feel like heaven is brass. And you know that you're absolutely, I'm not going if you don't give me something. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of God will move.
Right.
And you got a full sheet. Because it's through the Spirit of God.
Right.
That's the way it works. And not anything else. And so he says that's the word of the Lord. And not to get all into details, but you know, this is, The seven church ages was represented there in the Old and New Testament, the two olive trees and all that was represented there, and how God was going to do these things by his Spirit. So we realize that the message, you know, we talk about all the time, justification, sanctification, and all restoration of gifts. But this message here at the end time, you know, at the Old Testament, of all that rebuilding in the temple and all those things, you know, if Christ had not come, we'd be in vain. It'd be the same thing today. If all this stuff was unfolded, but yet there's no bride who's made ready, what good would it do? Right? But we know it's a work of God, and so it's exactly good. It's gonna be finished up, and He's gonna come, and you know all the things there. I say, God, He's already done it, doing it. And so, but this message brings not just, as I've been previous sermons, not just gifts or not just justification, sanctification, or a gift of the Spirit, a gift from Him. But this message brings the person, Jesus Christ Himself, to this earth.
Right.
The grain. Right? The wheat plant, as brother, the grain. Not the blade, the tassel, the shuck, but it brings Him the grain. Right? Now, you can take a blade coming out of the ground of a wheat plant. We'll take that blade, we'll set it here. We'll wait for the next one to get to the tassel. Now we take the tassel. Then we wait a little further and get the shuck. Now we take the shuck. Take that blade, that tassel, and that shuck, and let's plant them. And what are you going to get? Somebody say it. Nothing.
Right.
But you take that grain. You take that message beyond Pentecost. Beyond Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. That's the only one, the only time that the presence of God is in His people in such a way that they're just like Him.
Right.
Take that and plant it and see what you get.
Right.
This is why we're trying to get it, because even in this message, we're still looking back to Pentecostal. This is not what it is. There is a manifestation for this hour, and it's beyond all those things.
Right.
It's the person of the Word to be manifest in our lives. Sure, justification accompanies that. Sanctification accompanies that. Even gifts of the Spirit accompanies that. But that's not it.
Right?
Right? It's easy for us to look to a past day and say, that's it.
Right.
Brother Ram said it all the time. Methodists say, well, if you shout it, you got it. We found out they didn't have it. It's what he said. A lot of them say, you speak in tongues, you got it. Find out they don't. Right? So, it's the person of Jesus Christ, the eternal life that actually comes in. That means that in this day, as the song, while I go, the move is on. The move is really on, right? Because now we've got the germ of life within us. Not a partial word, but a perfect, full, manifested word of God that's now within His church. To make us just like Him. And I'll say this, and this may sound sacrilegious, and I know that there's enough of grace in your heart toward me to take this, but, you know, if Jesus Christ being the Word was planted, it could come forth, right? You take an end-time church that same germ of life is in, and you take that church and plant it, once again, it can come forth in life, the same gospel. You take Luther, plant that, no, it's not going to happen. Wesley, Pentecost, not going to happen. But the church has to come to a place where once again, the full life of God, the power and life of God that was hid in Christ and hid and revealed in Christ, and then hid in the church and now revealed in His bride. You understand? And so the move is on. So Brother Brown says, you'll say, well, what is the new birth? And then we quote this all the time. New birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Right.
And so we can definitely say that today. Might not have been able to say that in previous days so much, even though it was in its own minor form. But we definitely can say that today, the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Spirit, one and the same, is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. And not the man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee in that form. But the full manifested Word being brought to us today. That's the manifestation. That's the revelation. That's a new birth. That's the people that's got it. And that comes without a public showing. That comes by a third pull ministry And it's not a public showing. So if it's not a public showing, how can we go, oh, there you go. You can't. This is a personal, hidden thing that has to happen between each one of you and God himself.
Yeah.
Where he personally reveals himself, the quickened word of this day to you.
Right.
That's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
And when that comes, see, that's the hope. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. When that comes, it brings quickening power.
Right.
Quickening means to make alive. If you're like me, I'm sure you probably are, but, you know, in this life of God, everything we need is there. And we fall so short of ourselves. It's not him. We fall so short because we don't stand there and say that your promise, like Brother Daniel in the text he sent out yesterday. We might smite the ground a couple of times, but we need to smite it more, right? Because there's more for us than what we're actually taking in right now. Amen? And so what comes with that is quickening power. And it's not just quickening power to stop you from sinning. However, we need to make sure everybody understands that a real move of God in your life will stop the nonsense, right? God still sets people free, delivers them. And so if you're not experiencing that chain-breaking power in your life, it's not him, but it's the lack of your seriousness and desperation before God, because it's there for you. So it's quickening power, not just to be stop sinning, not just to be healed, not just to raise us up to speak in tongues or prophesy, right? Those things are manifestations of the Spirit, of something he can do in your life. But we're beyond that. See, the manifestation now is not just to stop those things and maybe speak in tongues, but it is to change your body. I could go to any one of these people who could manifest any of these other things, even in tongues, and say, now, manifest to me the change of your body. They can't do it.
Right.
It's easy to point to those things. Brother, sister, I'm talking about the manifestation of God today is what's changing you. And not just to stop sinning and those things, but it's changing you. Remember, the daily walk that Enoch had with God is what was changing him.
Right.
It is a power of God in our midst to change us, change our bodies. Not a public showing, as I said. So if it isn't in the public showing, how can we say they've got it? We find out there's many people in message churches and don't have it. There's not the word, they're judged, but you understand.
Right.
They come for a while and they're gone. See? The manifestation of the Spirit of God today is the word for today. It is the quickening of us up into the coming to pass of this word today.
Right.
Quickening right into it. Brother Bannon, when he was caught up into the angels. Right? We're caught up into the word until we look and we find out that as Brother Bannon could look up and say, I'm one of those angels. That we get quick and caught up into the place where we see, I'm the Word. It's me. God's done that in me. I now know who I am. Well, then when you know who you are, now you know what you can go do.
Right?
Right? But you have to come to that.
Right.
And it's everything I'm talking about is by grace. By the Spirit of God moving, and by you accepting it, it's grace. It's double grace. And so he's quickening us right up into this word, which is Christ. He is the word.
Right.
Way beyond Pentecost. Way beyond justification, sanctification, manifestation of gifts into the person of Christ, the word. And as I said, it's easy to manifest previous things. But the manifestation today is greater than that. It's a change of our body. It can only happen by his Spirit. Amen?
Right.
Only by being caught up in the Spirit of God. We have to understand the depravity. That is a word. How many has ever heard that word? We have to understand the depravity of the flesh, of the carnal nature of man. We need to understand that, of course, we all would say, we say, you know what? You cannot be saved by flesh. You can't be saved by carnal nature. Right. We say, oh, amen, Brother Tony, amen. But here's the thing, that after we're saved, after we have a new birth, you cannot go on to serve God in your flesh. Right. And we spend so much time doing that. After the new birth, we cannot worship, we can't please, we can't serve God unless it's through the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Right? According in His Holy Ghost, according to His Word. Right?
Right.
And so much efforts and so much of what we do, we can come and we can be serving God, and we're serving God, But what we've got to understand is what we must do is we must seek His presence to come and anoint us so that what we do, we're going in His anointing to do what we're doing. Even to go to work each day, you should pray and ask God and say, God, come down until you get that quickening power upon you. And then as you go, you're going in the Spirit. You should pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. That doesn't mean tongues. Now, I just want to show you. It's beyond tongues.
Right.
Because when you go in the anointing of the word of the hour, and that's what is motivating your steps, you're going in the Spirit.
Right.
The word of the Spirit. The Spirit of the word. See? You might not be going speaking in tongues. You could. Right? If that's what God's doing. But it's beyond that. To pray in the Spirit is to pray according to the word of the hour. Follow me? It's the word, the quickened word, to go in the name and the power and authority of what God has dropped in this day, which is Christ, the person of the word. The only time the church has had full quickening power in them. Amen. But thoroughly demonstrated, even through a prophet. He said, well, Brother Randall, you have to understand, yes, he was a prophet and God did many things, but at the same time, he was an example to us to show us what God will do in our lives when we're consecrated to him. Then he can take Brother Donovan Works just by a hand, just by touching, not even say anything, and that cancer will fall off of his ear.
Right.
And he gave that example, quickening power. Quickening power can do that. So that's what has come in this day. Quickening power for a resurrection, for a change of our bodies. That's why Brother Ben said, it is the rising of the sun. The quickening power that has come to this church, to this end time message. Only by His Spirit. So we have to understand the depravity of the flesh and the carnal nature of man, that we cannot be born again by it, and we cannot go on and further to live for God and do it by the flesh. If you're not doing it in the Spirit of God, if you're not motivated by that Spirit of the Holy Ghost in us, then we're not pleasing to God. Read Romans 8. You'll see. Romans 8. So if, as the church come along, and if the end time bride movement as a whole would require the Spirit of God to come and catch us up into the Spirit of God, and that would bring a perfection to us, if that's the way it is for a church, then it's that way for an individual. We as individuals. So, everything that you have need of is in this experience I'm talking about. So, you take something like this. It's right here. It's got all kinds of apps on it. You can check your banking. You can order dinner tonight. You can plan your next mission trip. You can check on your family, see how they're doing. You can tune into a sermon. You can watch LA camp. And the list goes on and on and on. And almost seemingly, because, you know, science parallels, right? Science development kind of parallel, right? And so, you know, we now live in an astronaut age, now a time that we can be quickened up and taken up and don't have to come back, right? Airplanes have to come back, but astronauts don't. So Pentecost had to come back down after a while, but we now have a message that will take us off this earth, right? So here's the scientific development right here. And seemingly everything you need access information-wise and so is just right here. Make an appointment to have your car fixed, whatever. Right? And I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, not trying to compare this to the Holy Ghost, but I want you to notice something. If you don't have connection, you have nothing. You must be connected. And then every gift, everything, whatever you have in you can now operate through that connection. But without that connection, you have nothing.
Amen?
Amen? That's the comparison of why I would say that. And so, we want to make sure we have a connection. And we need to come to a full understanding. We cannot serve God in our own flesh nature. Even with our own, the best we want to do, we're just going to serve. You can't do it. We need the anointing.
Right.
We need Him to quicken us. Just like a minister will wait for the quickening of the Lord to give him what to say. Each one of you have that. That's what you need to do. And you need to know that you're going in his anointing. That you're going because you know when that happens, he'll take care of you.
Right.
He'll take care of you. As long as you know that you're walking in his word and his anointing, then it's his responsibility. And so we've got to understand you don't even know how to serve God without being anointed.
Right.
We've got to. I feel so insufficient to try to get this across to you, but until you have that anointing upon you, you're going in vain. You've got to have that. See, you can't. It can't work. It's just you're wasting time. So we need, and we talk about, oh, there's going to be an outpouring, another outpouring of the Spirit. This is what I'm telling you. The Spirit of this day is a quickened word in your life. It is Spirit. And it is, Jesus said, these words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. They are words, they are Spirit, they are life. They are quickening power. You can't separate the Word and the Spirit. Right?
Right.
You understand? Because that is the Spirit of truth. And so I'm just going to, you must have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You must have this anointing. Not just one time, but every day. And we must, as Christian believers, we seek to have the blessing of God's Spirit upon us to quicken us. Because otherwise, we might have all kinds of mechanics, but we don't want, I mean, Brother Daniel and I, when we're trying to get to seek God for a sermon, we have all kinds of memories of scriptures and quotes and stuff, but it's dead. Laying there dead until something comes upon us to say, there's what you go with.
Right.
Right, Brother Daniel? See what I'm saying? And so we all have to have that. And so no matter how much we've studied, no matter what we are, we must have that touch from Him, that quickening power.
Amen.
To take the mechanics and move us on down the road.
Right.
To move us right on into a rapture. We've got the quotes and the word. And everything is already laying there to give our bodies the change. We're just waiting on the Holy Spirit to quicken it.
Right.
And just as easy as a minister sat in his study with nothing and the Holy Spirit coming and just literally in 2 seconds, a whole sermon, boom. Just that easy for the Spirit of God to come upon the body of believers and change our bodies.
Amen.
Just that simple. Amen. So we have to understand, without the Holy Ghost, we can do nothing.
Right.
We can do a lot of things, but it won't do any good.
Right.
It's not by power, not by might. It's by my Spirit that this thing comes to pass.
Amen.
That's why I'm titling it this. So I'm just gonna go over them real quick, and you can interact with me if you're familiar, and you should be familiar with these scriptures, but I'm just going to say them, maybe. You can finish him for me. Mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. What if you don't have that Spirit? You're not going to mortify the deeds. How do you live a good life? How do you live a holy? Holy Ghost. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken. Amen. I like that. I like it that you can answer that back. If that Spirit, not if the mechanics, but if that Spirit dwelleth in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for his people, right? But he has revealed it by his Spirit. How? By intellect? No, by his Spirit.
Right.
You're not getting there without it. See, you're not going to, you can't even soar in heavenly places unless God quickens you up into these things. Right? And I know that you've experienced these, all of us, to different degrees. But brother, sister, up there's where we need to be all the time. Flying all the time as an eagle would, right? And if we do land, let it be high up on top of the mountains, right? In the past, he's not made known the mysteries of God in past days, but now he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. That you can be strengthened by might in the inner man by his Spirit. For as many are as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right? This is how we know that we abide in him, by the Spirit that he's given us. I'm quoting you scriptures. Right? How? All of it. By his Spirit.
Right.
So if these scriptures aren't true in your life, if you don't have that Spirit, see? And I'm by no means trying to say none of you've had an experience. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the depravity of the flesh. We can't serve God any other way until we're caught up in the Spirit. And every day we must seek the Spirit of God to move us.
Amen.
Every day. And that's our failure. Because we're too comfortable in this life. There's too many easy things in this world. And if God has to strip that all to get us, then fine, let him do it, see? But that's the thing. This is how we know we abide with him, because of the Spirit. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This one, really good. If we have begun in the Spirit, are we perfected by the flesh? Completed. If this church, if it took the Holy Ghost pouring out on the day of Pentecost, it'll take the Holy Ghost at the end time to quicken us.
Right?
Remember, Holy Ghost, don't fall to the trap of tongues and all that. I'm talking about something greater. Might accompany all that, but something greater, the quickened word. Brother, that I'm talking about the finality of what God was going to do in redemption in you just prior to your body change. That Christ in you, quickening power in you, that you can lay hands and you can, without even saying anything, can touch someone. Quickening power within us.
Right.
You say, Brother Tony, it's because we're not saying, God, it's your word. It's your word. See, we've got to come to that place, as Brother Brown said, desperation. Our family and friends and our world is burning down and time's about gone. What does it take? And the desperation is so stuffed out because we've got so many easy things. That's why I've said in the past, you know, we need to just cut things off ourselves. And, you know, as in the scriptures, afflict yourselves. Close yourself by saying, I'm cutting myself away from things of the world that occupy my time. Maybe not even simple things, but they just cut those things off and force myself into a place where I can seek God and I can cry out to God and say, God, fulfill your word.
Amen.
We cannot be completed or perfected in any other way except in the Spirit. Paul was talking to the Galatians. You know, you started in the Spirit, now you're going to go back the denominational teaching, going to go back to trying to serve God and be perfected by flesh? Ain't happening. We will be perfected when we're caught up in the spirit of this word in this hour. The Bible tells us we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit does. You think about that. I pray every day, Brother Tony. Do you pray in the Spirit? Do you pray until God comes? Because if you've been a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been around for a while, then you can pray and then all of a sudden something happens. And now you know your prayer's reaching. And now it's like arrows going out. Like that. And you know what I'm saying? That is accomplishing things and you're touching the throne of God. Right. That's where I'm talking we should be. And yes, it starts out every day in ourselves. But that's where we're at. That's our fight. That's what, when we're on that day and we're going to receive reward, our reward is going to come by how we fought to get into the Spirit.
Right. Amen.
That's it. We must fight to get into the Spirit. And brother, sister, nobody can do that for you. Most powerful anointed preacher, Brother Branham himself, Jesus Christ himself, stand here and preach you, will not do that in your life until you make up your mind, I'm going to fight this battle. And I'm going to get into the Spirit of this word. I'm going to get in there until God's moving through me and working through me. That's what you have to do. We read in the scriptures that John, you know, John's a type of the bride. Cannot overemphasize that.
Right.
John, as Brother Branham was saying, one man in the vision and type the whole entire bride body covered. And he did. So we're just going to kind of go down that avenue here just for a moment. John was caught up in the Spirit, caught to our day to see things that come to pass. We know that. So, Revelations chapter 1, I think around verse 10, somewhere there, says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw. So what John saw, he couldn't see unless he was in the Spirit. So what John saw, you can't see until you're in the Spirit.
Right.
Is that okay?
Right?
So, John was caught up in the Spirit, and what did he see? Well, he saw that there were seven church ages. The rest of the world don't even know that. But he saw that there were seven church ages, seven churches, right? And he saw that in those churches, in those ages, Christ was in there. Even though they were martyred and all kinds of things, he could see that Christ was in the midst of them, of those churches. And that Christ had all these attributes. Eyes as flame of fire, sword out his mouth, feet burn as brass. All of those things mean things. This is what John saw, and John could not know these things, could not write these things, except that he had been caught up in the Spirit. And he could see those things. And John also could see that there were seven stars, seven messengers. He was able to see that. Because he was caught up in the Spirit. The Spirit of what? That word. Right? Christ revealing. You can't see those things except that you've been caught up in the Spirit of God. And so you can say, because Brother Rem's always said, look, people making mistakes saying, well, here's what God did do and what God's going to do, and failing to see what he's done right now. And I want you to understand that if you see those things, and I don't mean with intellect knowledge, but if you see that and you know that's been revealed to you, you've been caught up. Or you wouldn't see it. Follow me? Revelation chapter 4. He was caught up in the Spirit. Immediately I was in the Spirit. And he saw a throne. And there was one on the throne. Not three.
All right.
This is what John saw. Because he was caught up in the Spirit, he could see this. And because you're caught up in the Spirit, you can see this. Beyond intellect, I'm talking about revealed. You can see, yes, that's right. Praise God, that's the truth. I can see how this is all working, how God had it all laid out. So he saw this throne. What was John caught up to see? He was seeing the book of redemption about to be opened, the finishing up of all these things, the names about to be announced and revealed, the life behind those names. So he's called up to the throne, and he saw the throne, saw one standing on it, and he also saw four creatures. Like we talked about the other day. There's only one last cherubim left, and that was the one that was the eagle. Right? He was caught up and could see those four living creatures, and he could see the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, and their anointings and what those were for. Have you seen that? Have you seen those things? Because you can't see it unless you're caught up in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit for this day, this word. Oh, but Brother Tony, I'm not speaking tongues. I don't care. You might speak in tongues, you might not. But there's one thing, is to be caught up in the quickening of the word of the hour.
Amen.
That's the thing. And no one can produce that. Only Christ.
Right.
Nobody can mimic that. Nobody can make that happen unless they've been in a secret place with Almighty God.
Amen.
For Him alone to reveal that to you. They saw those four creatures and the 24 elders, and saw the book that nobody could open, then saw the lamb that they said was a lion. John understood, wow, the lion has come forth to conquer, but the way he did it was by being a lamb. John understood that. See, he wrote it, but he couldn't without being caught up in the Spirit to see that. Revelation chapter 17. I was carried away in the Spirit, and I saw this woman sitting on a beast wearing scarlet and so forth. The whore church system. John had to be caught up to even be able to see what that mystery Babylon was. See, brother, sister, we're further down the road than we think. All of these things have been revealed, right? And only those who assemble daily and weekly to come and sit and feed on these things. See, because everybody else, I ain't got time for it. But you see, he's revealed these things, and we come and we assemble and we feed on this all the time. Why? Because we see it. We recognize this as eagle food or sheep food, if you want to say that, but eagle food. And when you recognize this word of God as eagle food, you've left all this other nonsense you've heard from your theophany. Right. See, we're further than we think. With this quickened word, and we're feeding on it. Don't you think that he could speak and that spirit could move and our bodies could be changed? And we wouldn't even have to do nothing? What did you do to get the revelation that you got? You didn't do anything.
Right.
He revealed it to you. Right?
To
the bride, the rapture is a revelation. Revelation comes by the Spirit. Amen. Revealing the Word. So John sees this. He sees this harlot system. And John's caught up in the Spirit to see this. And because of that, he sees that she had daughters. And he also sees the judgment that comes to him. Couldn't see that unless he was caught up in the Spirit. Revelation chapter 21. One of the angels, one of the seven angels, wonder which one it was. One of the seven angels came and said to me, "Let me come and show you the bride, the Lamb's fiance, the Lamb's wife." I could be wrong, but I don't think she's wife until after they've had their ceremony. Am I wrong on that, or is that right?
Right.
Might be a bride, but wife.
Right.
Wife. John was caught up to see a revelation to realize who this bride really is.
Right.
My brother, sister, we're talking about, oh, we want to be caught up, we want to have... No, brother, this is it. This is the quickening power. This is the thing. And in all that, there's all the quickening power that you could ever want. You just have to believe for it.
You have to use it. You have to go with it and know what's yours and fight for it. Stand there against the things of the enemy. You've got to do that. Amen? Because if you don't, Satan will just sit there and just bluff you. Right? So John couldn't see any of these things unless he was caught up in the Spirit. Don't you think that's in the Scriptures for a reason? I was caught up in the Spirit. Amen. So you know you are John. The power, quickening power, will reveal these things to you. It is the rising of the sun. Brother Branham talking about quickening power. He saw John the Revelator was filled of quickening power, and he stood up and he seen the end from the beginning. We're just talking about the book of Revelation. That's what he was talking about. Isaiah was full of quickening power and stood up and he seen the millennium and all. Isaiah had the entire Bible in himself. Right? He's the whole thing. Quickening power. And if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. Remember, quickening power. Look what we've seen today. Quickening power has come to us and opened the seven seals. What was that? The intelligence of a man? No. Wasn't the intelligence of a man that opened the seals? No. It was the quickening power of God. The quickening power of God foretold us that it would take place, see? But the quickening of power has made the world testify that it's the truth. The angel of the Lord, what I told you was around the pillar of fire, quickening power. Let the world testify that it's truth. He's talking about the pillar of fire over his head, the picture they took, and how they took the picture of the angels there. You know, he's talking about that. Quickening power brought those things and made the world testify to it. Amen. And in that, so they didn't know it, what it was, and we just look this way, and it's our Lord up there. He's referring to the picture when the Lord said, look at it this way. And he said, those angels, there was that Hoffman head of Christ, he said, that's our Lord up there. You see, quickening power did that. You see, he's the one that opened those seals. He is those seals, for the whole word of God is Christ, and Christ is the seals that was opened. That makes sense? It's the entire revelation of him that has been opened. What is the opening of those seals then? It's revealing Christ. And the very seven angels, which represented the seven churches, was all completed, and we couldn't see it. And they took the picture, not us. And so he's talking about that picture. And there he stands, supreme judge, showing that he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What an identification. Quickening power did that to us. Quickening power let us see his coming. Quickening power snatches us from death to life. Quickening power gives discernment to know what's wrong with you and what to do and what you have done and what you ought not to have done and what you should have done and what you will be. Quickening power does all these things. Amen. So quickening power comes by this Spirit is what it takes. Amen. So I said a little while ago, it's a message of grace. You know, Paul talked about not frustrating the grace of God. You know, if a person, let's say a person was grace, and they were trying to do something to help you that you couldn't do. And you were doing everything in the world to complicate what they were trying to do. And then you can frustrate grace. By just, you know, like Brother Bram gave the example, if a little child trying to put on his coat or something like that, and he's just all over the place trying to find the armhole because he doesn't know, but you let a grown up say, let me do it, and just so easily does it. And so you can frustrate the grace of God. Let grace do in your life what God sent it to do. Really? Brother Bam said in that message, you really should go listen to it. He said, and just from my memory of the words, it's like, you know, it'll take grace for God not to recognize all the things I've done wrong and only recognize that which I've tried to do for him that's right. It'll take grace. Brother, sister, it'll take the grace of God for any of us. It's what it is, the grace of God to save us, and it'll take the grace of God to get us through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so don't frustrate the grace of God by dwelling on your failures and saying, but I you know, as I read the quote, he said, you might be a womanizer, you might be a prostitute, you might be a murderer, you might, whatever. And you may say, well, there's no hope for me. I've gone too far. He said, no, you wouldn't, because if you was, you wouldn't be in church.
Right.
You wouldn't be here right now. Maybe read these quotes here in just a minute. It's a message of grace. And I've said before, you know, you take a lady who walks gracefully. You can see they're just, I don't know how to describe it, but they're just a way. A woman looks different than a man. I look at me on video, and I'm just, this is what I look like to myself, you know. But you look at, maybe to everybody else too, I don't know, but I am what I am. But, you know, you look at, there, a woman walks differently. She walks gracefully. You know, great big heavy machinery that can get something done, it's not too graceful. Right? Digging dirt, it's got, because why? You know, and so men supposed to be big and muscles, and maybe they, you know, they just knock things out of the way like a bull in a china closet or something like that, whatever, but there's something about a female, and she just walks, and so when we talk about graceful, you know, it would take grace. I think I've used the example, taking a bull through a store. It would have to take grace so he could move through there and not break anything. It takes the grace of God to get us to move us through this world and this hour. But God's grace is sufficient. And you say, oh, I bumped that. Oh, I shouldn't have looked at this. Or I just let the grace of God get you back on track. Don't sit there and go, I just failed so much. Yes, we all do. Brother Brown did. But you just have to let grace take a hold on you, move you, put you right on track, and it'll move you right through as long as you walk in the grace of God.
Amen.
He'll get you there. Amen. This is what Brother Lim said. Let me say this to sinner friend. You may be here this morning, prostitute. You may be here this morning, woman chaser. You might be a drunkard, a gambler, or a murderer. You might be here as an impure husband, impure wife. You might be the vilest sinner. You say, I'm past the stage of redemption. You might think, Brother Tony, I fought these addictions for years. I'm never going to get out of it. That's a lie from the devil. Right? That's a lie from the devil. You might say, I'm past the stage of redemption. No, you're not, or you wouldn't be in church this morning. Grace will make a way for you in this dark hour if you'll just accept it. Adam had to be willing to accept it, and so do you. Accept it. Brother Ben said, Abraham was supposed to stay in the land, but he went down into the Philistines and went down there to sojourn and got out of the famine, and things was a little hard up in his country, so he went down there and journeyed with them and done exactly what God told him not to do. But yet, grace of God appeared and kept the king from taking his wife. The grace of God. And when Abraham said, it's my sister, he lied about it. And yet the grace of God held him because he repented. He was willing to repent. And anybody that's willing to repent, the grace of God still goes for you. The grace of God is searching for you. Grace of God is searching for you, backsliders, this morning. The grace of God is still looking for you if you'll just repent. That's the key. God's grace is sufficient. How he took old Abraham and brought him back. And remember, Abraham was not saved by his works. He was saved by grace. Abraham was saved by faith, which is grace. And God saved Abraham because his grace, because of grace, because not because of his behavior. He saved him because of grace. Oh, how good he was saved by grace. Amen. But you got to be willing to let it have its way in your life. You got to be willing to repent. You got to be able. Here's the thing. People aren't willing to cry out to God anymore until he manifests his word. That's the problem. When was the last time a person got into the Spirit, prayed and got into the Spirit? You should ask yourself that. Yeah. Amen. So what do we need to do? Before we read a quote, this is out of the Ephesian church age. Talking about how that men try to serve God, you know, just by the will of man and just serve God by the flesh and so forth. You have to be born by the will of God, not by the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. I don't say that some of them aren't right with God, not for 1 minute do I say that. But the original fire has died down. They are not the same anymore. Now he's talking about how the Ephesian age, Ephesians got relaxed. The early church was on fire for God, and then something happened, and they relaxed. Amen? Here's what happened to them. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know his word, the cry for reaching out in the Spirit, all begins to fade away. And instead of that church being on fire with fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. That is what's happening back there in Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment to God was dying out of the people, and the people weren't too careful about what God thought of them as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. The second generation come on was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like the other nations, and when they did that, they rejected God. But they did it anyway. And that is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't initially do. They changed their manner of dress, their attitudes, their behaviors. They got lax. And that is what Ephesus means, is relaxed. How many people could say, you know what? I used to walk a more strict life. I used to spend more time in prayer. And now I find myself doing things, allowing things that at one time I wouldn't. And if you can say that, if it took being caught up in the Spirit and being full of the Holy Ghost in the original church and not relaxed, then it's going to take us getting back to that at the end. Amen? It's going to take that. Amen. That's what Ephesus means, is relaxed or drifting. Do you know God doesn't want you to drift?
No. Right.
You don't want to be a drifter.
No.
You don't want to, you know, Cain became a drifter.
Sure.
A wanderer, as I think Brother Brim said, a wanderer. God doesn't want you wandering, not knowing. He wants you to have a foundation secure. Don't know right where you belong so that things won't shake you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the storms come through like the other night, well, you got one thing you can do. You can pray and commit it to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some people have a tornado shelter. Do you know, it's a tornado, if it's above ground, they can have one big enough to tear that thing off the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one thing that you can do to protect you during storms. The storms of life, going to work in your car. You don't know. You just have to say, to look to God and say, God, I'm in your hands. I'm going in your name. That's all you can do. And then just sit there and believe it, no matter how loud the wind gets and how much hail and whatever's going on in your life, you just say, God, I'm yours. I commit to you. I'm in your hands. Amen? That's what you must do. Listen, if you want a level of victory in your life that you've not got, you've got to do something different than what you've been doing.
Right?
And you know, and so we're not ignorant, right? We know you know yourself more than you know than anyone else does except for God. And so if you got something, you know, that you're not letting go, you got to let go. You got to stop frustrating the grace of God. If you say, I've got failures, we all have failures. We all do. But God has sent you a message that has quickening power.
Right.
And he wants you to be caught up into that word. Amen. And it will do exactly what he promised it would do. I'm looking for a sweep to come over my body someday and change me. Amen. But I think I mentioned the other day, and things that are to be, Brother Bram let us know that when you feed on this word, you are forming that body you're going to. That word body that you're going to step out of when you go there. Amen. So as a mother would be craving things when she's pregnant, you're like, what's that? Why are you hungry for pickles and ice cream or whatever it is, you know? And you're like, that's weird. But the prophet told us, you know. And you might, you know, the world might look at, what's the matter with them people? They go to church all the time. They're reading their Bible, praying, they get together. What's the matter with them? I'll tell you what's the matter with them. They're pregnant. They're going to be birthed into another realm.
Right?
That's what the deal is. But don't neglect those hungers and those thirsts that the Holy Spirit's trying to give you. Right? If you can identify things in your life that's hindering and not letting you feed those hungers and those thirsts that the Holy Spirit's giving you, if you can identify things in your life that's keeping you from following the word that's coming out of the pulpit, cut those things off. Go on fast. Go on, you know, in the natural, you go on a food fast. Sometimes, it could make your body weak because the weaker I am, the more apt I am to see a vision. Brother Daniel may be the same way. The weaker I am, the more apt that can happen. The weaker I am, the more the Spirit can speak. Why? Because they're opposite of one another. And so, that's what that whole concept is. Afflict yourself. Sackcloth, ashes. I don't even know what happened to it now, but I had, for one time, a robe made out of burlap. Itchy. That's the whole thing was, when you're wearing that, you're not comfortable. It is key, because so you're not going to go to sleep. You're not going to get. It's going to keep you on point of what the purpose is. The purpose is to seek God. So take away comforts and things that will hinder you from seeking God. And those are things you have to do. Amen. And if you take a step toward God, He'll take a step toward you, or maybe more than that. His steps are a lot bigger than yours, right? But you've got to break that cycle. Break that chain, whatever that is. You know, we've been there. We all say, well, yeah, you know, and you want more of God, but then it just doesn't happen. You go through the cycle, something has to happen. Break that through that veil and tell God, till you know, and now my fellowship is restored with Him. I'm back in the place where I need to be. I, you know, because the Holy Spirit just goes out there on a limb. That's all He does. Right? He's not very far away. Your prophet said that. He's not very far away. He's wanting to come back. If you don't have that daily fellowship with Him, He wants to. Amen? And so, you just have to work out these things. Amen? That you will seek God until you know that the Holy Spirit has come upon you and quickened His words to you. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that. I believe we're further down the road in Revelation than what we think. I believe, me personally, I believe that the fact that we have seen the things that we see means that we're already in line for quickening of our bodies whenever He's ready to do it. Amen. But until that time, we just want to keep walking with Him closer, closer. God, anything you could do it through me. Amen. That's what our desire is. Let the musicians come. Amen. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Let's bow our hearts to Him.
Father, as we come to the end of this portion of the service. And Lord, as I have shared the things that you put on my heart, and I know, God, that it's not lying within a man to impart your word into the hearts of your people. But Lord, through a gift, Lord, that's all we can do is express it through the gift that you put in us. And Lord, through the pulling of on the word from your people, that these things go forth. But I pray now, God, as I'm finishing up, that you would take these words and you would go on with them. Lord, because they're your words, that means you anoint them. Would you bring them to pass in the lives of your people? We just pray, God, that you just do that for each one. Lord, as I know each one of us have these thresholds that we need to break through, we need to get beyond. And Lord, it only comes by your Spirit. It only comes by us surrendering ourselves to the place where you can move upon us. And I'm asking, God, a special blessing upon each one in this place and those that are streaming. Lord, that they'll be able to enter into that place, Lord, where your Spirit can begin to move upon them. And Lord, that they become obedient to those things that you reveal, those things that you say. God, that they can come forth in you and pass that threshold where once again their fellowship with you is like it once was. Your prophet said, Lord, that we should never let the first love die. But I suppose we could all say that that's happened in our lives from time to time. We pray today, God, that that fire be rekindled in the lives of your people. Lord, may the desperation of God work through them now until they touch the throne of mercy and grace. We ask it in Jesus' name.